In the last session, I talked about Lot, and one of the things I didn't mention was that when the angels came into the town, Lot saw them in the town square, and he invited them into his home. At first, they refused, and they said they were just going to spend the night in the town square, but Lot insisted that they come to his home, and they did so. And while they were there, Lot made for them a meal, and the evil men of the town heard about the men being there, so they assembled around Lot's house and began pounding on the door, telling Lot to send these men out so they could have sex with them. Lot refused, and one of the things that the Bible records is that Lot offered up his daughters, his two virgin daughters, and told the men, you can have them to do with as you please, just don't do anything to these two men. Now most of us, I hope all of us, would think to themselves, what in the world was Lot thinking, offering up his two daughters to save these other people? Our God does not require us to sacrifice some to save others. The only sacrifice the Lord required was that of his own son, Jesus, who died on the cross for all of our sins. Other than that, he does not require anything else or anyone else. In fact, he rebuked the Israelites, as recorded in the Old Testament, because they were following the pagan nations around them and they were burning their children in the fire to such detestable gods as Moloch as a human sacrifice. Something that the Lord said, as recorded in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 31, that he did not command, nor did it even enter his mind to do such a thing. Our Lord does not call upon the injuring or victimization of people to appease him. So now let's move on to Isaac. And as I said before, I don't want to get into the pattern of good, bad much anymore. I think we've covered that enough. I just want to look at Isaac and show once again that although a righteous man, a good man, he had his flaws. What can we say about Isaac? The most important thing is Isaac was the result of a promise from God. So much so that in Genesis 22, when the Lord tested Abraham by telling him to sacrifice Isaac, Isaac was called Abraham's one and only son, even though Abraham had also fathered Ishmael. So much was Isaac God's chosen that later the Lord listened to Isaac when he prayed for his wife Rebekah, who was barren, to have children, and Rebekah had twins, Jacob and Esau. Now, when Rebekah was pregnant, the twins struggled about inside of her, so much so that she inquired of the Lord as to what was going on. So this was not just something that women who have had children go through normally. This wasn't just two children kicking about in the womb. This was something so unusual, so alarming to Rebekah, that she actually knew this was way beyond the normal and went to the Lord to ask. And the Lord spoke with her. The Bible records this. The Lord told her that there were two nations inside of her. One would be stronger than the other, and the older brother would serve the younger. Now, the Bible doesn't go into specific details of Rebekah telling this to Isaac, but I find it hard to believe that she would not, if she was that alarmed by what was going on, that she went and inquired of the Lord. I'm sure she spoke with Isaac and told Isaac everything the Lord had told her. But even with the Lord's prophecy that Jacob was the chosen, Isaac loved Esau because Esau was a skilled hunter and Isaac loved to eat the wild game that Esau brought back from his hunts. Now Esau was described as a hairy man, probably gruff, definitely an outdoorsman. He also didn't seem to think things through. One day when he came in from a hunt, he was famished and wanted some of the stew that Jacob was making. Jacob said that he would give him some, but only if Esau swore over his birthright. That's the right of being the firstborn son and all of the family rights that come with it, including being the ranking son and getting a larger share of the inheritance and control over the father's estate when the father passed away. Now, Esau foolishly gave up his birthright for one bowl of stew. I think most of us would say that's not very bright. That wasn't very well thought out. Later, after Jacob had taken Esau's blessing, that's the blessing that Isaac gave Jacob before he died, the blessing that Isaac thought he was giving to Esau, Esau heard how displeasing Canaanite women were to Isaac, so to spite his father, Esau went out and married a Canaanite woman, in addition to the wives that he already had, both daughters of Hittites, and both who were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. Rebekah, in fact, told Isaac that these women were such a source of grief that she made Isaac tell Jacob to not marry one of the women around in the area, but to go find a woman of their own family, of their own people, to marry. Now, we look at the Hittites, just a side note. Hundreds of years later, the Hittites were one of the seven nations in the Promised Land that God ordered the Israelites to utterly destroy. A people so evil that they would lead Israel astray if allowed to. Jacob, on the other hand, was a quiet man, what the King James describes as a plain man. He stayed among the tents and was loved by his mother, Rebekah. He was also loved by God, for it was Jacob, not Esau, that the Lord chose and said he would be called Israel. So once again, like Abraham, we see that Isaac wasn't called to do anything great in terms of overall accomplishments. Isaac, being the promise of God to Abraham, continued the lineage in the formation of the people, the nation of Israel. And even though he personally favored Esau, he still was a righteous man. When he found out that he had been fooled into giving Jacob the blessing that should have been given to the firstborn, Esau, he didn't try and change what he had done. He honored his word and didn't call down a curse on Jacob. And I believe that he saw that Esau wasn't the best son in terms of following God, as the wives Esau married proved. Once again, he told Jacob to marry a better wife, one that was from his own people, not the pagan Canaanites, and Jacob obeyed. Not much about Isaac is said after this, other than the fact that he died at 180 years old, which means he lived 5 years longer than his father Abraham, who died at 175. So I think it's fair to say that Isaac was a righteous man and the Lord blessed him with a long life. But I also think that we need to see that although he's talked about in the Bible, he was not some great or mysterious figure. Looking back over his story, we see him much as we would see a typical parent today. He had good times with his kids and some bad times. He and his wife had problems with in-laws, in this case daughters-in-law, those married to Esau, yet he still loved Esau. So we see that what Solomon is quoted as saying in Ecclesiastes is true. There's nothing new under the sun. So as we continue to study the people of the Bible, understand that they are no different than you or your neighbors. They had the same problems, the same worries, the same joys as all of us. Although we think things are new today, they're not. They're just new to us. The same things that go on today went on thousands of years ago. And the people back then had to deal with those problems the same as we do today. As we continue to study the people of the Bible, look at how things really haven't changed. As the old saying goes, the more things change, the more they remain the same.